السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما شاء الله, it is extremely delightful to see all of the children here. ما شاء الله. I have two requests to the children and to the parents. Firstly, the parents, can you please take responsibility for your children while they're in the masjid? Please let them sit next to you, so that you can monitor them and supervise them during the prayer time. If you allow them to sit with their friends, there will be a lot of commotion. It will not just disturb your prayer, it will disturb everybody's prayer. And secondly, can I request everybody to please fill the front rows of the masjid? If you can please stand up from where you are, don't be shy, brothers. Please stand up, come and fill the front rows of the masjid. Come forward, boys as well at the back, come forward. Don't be shy. Come on, boys. We've not seen you for a long time. Come all the way to the front. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You know, when you come for Jumu'ah, you should try and fill the front safs, the front rows. How unfortunate is it that we come first to the masjid, but we sit right at the back? Sit as close as you can to the imam. You will receive a lot of blessings. MashaAllah. May Allah reward you for your qurbani of standing up and having to listen to me. Jazakallahu khayra. Since it's the day of Friday, we are encouraged to send a lot of durood, a lot of salawat ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody's requested to at least one time recite durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم, أما بعد. Today's topic is the gift of being young, the gift of youth. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu was only 10 years old. He was related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the Banu Najjar tribe, who feature in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage on his mother's side. Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiyallahu an, the mother of Hazrat Anas radiyallahu an, dedicated her son to the service of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Relating the episode in his old age, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, he says, فَقَالَتْ أُمِّي خَوَيْدُمُكَ عُدْعُ اللَّهَ لَهُ قَالْ فَدَعَى لِي بِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَكَانَ فِي آخِرِ مَا دَعَى لِي بِهِ أَنْ قَالْ اللهم أكثر ماله وولده وبارك له فيه. My mother said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your little servant, pray to Allah for him. So he prayed for every goodness for me, and amongst the last things he asked for me was, Ya Allah, grant him an abundance in wealth, grant him an abundance in offspring, and grant him barakah in them. In another narration, he described in detail the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made for him. Allahumma barik fi malihi wa waladihi wa atil umrahu waghfir dhanbahu. O Allah, bless him in his wealth and bless him in his offspring, meaning his children, and lengthen his lifespan and forgive his sins. Commenting on the outcome of this prayer, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, he says that his garden would give fruit twice a year when everybody else's would give it once a year. And he was blessed so much with his offspring that by the time Hajjaj came to Basra, over 120 of his own offspring had been buried. As for the prayer of having a long life, he was given such a long life that he commented how he had become tired of life. It is recorded that Anas radiallahu anhu was amongst those four or five Sahaba that were the last to leave this world. And he was the last Sahaba to pass away in the region of Basra, aged about 100 years. And regarding the last dua, the forgiveness of sins, he hopes too that that is accepted. When the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he was only 20 years old. Regarding his 10 years of service to the Prophet ﷺ, he comments, خَدَمْتُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَشَرَ سِنِينَ فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفْ وَلَا لِمَ صَنَعْتَ وَلَا أَلَّا صَنَعْتَ. I served the Prophet ﷺ for 10 years. He never rebuked me or asked why I had done something or why I had not done something. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is one of the companions who have been classed as mukhdirin fil hadith by the eminent imams and the muhaddithin. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayh, his classification commemorates those 6 companions who transmitted the greatest number of hadith to the ummah. It is evident from the hadiths, the books of hadith, that the majority of his 1,286 narrations are attributed directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates 1,286 ahadith directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that he had acquired a substantial corpus of knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the time he was 20. Afterwards, he went to other senior companions and he benefited from their knowledge as well. So Anas radiallahu anhu, he had already achieved a significant amount in his life by the time he was 20, an age at which still many consider themselves children in today's day and age. His sense of responsibility and level of maturity was such that from the tender age of 10, he was helping and assisting the Prophet of Allah and fulfilling his service to the required level. The Prophet ﷺ never became annoyed with him, and never did the situation arise where he had been told to leave and return when he was old. In our environment, even a 25 or 30-year-old lacks the sense of responsibility he should have and goes on since thinking that I am still too young to take life seriously. So one of the aims of discussing the life of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is firstly to create the love for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts, and to acquire and to acknowledge that they made the deen, not the dunya, their goal. They frequented the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they acquired as much knowledge as possible, and they practiced what they had learned, and then they sacrificed their entire life in passing this knowledge on to others. Another aim of mentioning the life of the Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is to help our youth appreciate and understand the importance of maturity or thought and maturity of action. From the age of awareness, be it 10, 11, or 12, they should expect to begin to take responsibilities upon their shoulders and aim to become self-sufficient as soon as possible. Our youngsters should aspire to stand on their own 2 feet and regulate their own life. By the time they reach puberty, or 18, or 20 at the most, they should aspire to be independent to the extent that their parents are able to feel their duty to their children has been fulfilled. Rather than being looked after, our youth should become self-sufficient and be able to assist in running the family household, running the family home, and should also be of service to their parents. Even before reaching the age of puberty, a person needs to have understood with his heart and mind what the aim of life is and why he has been sent to this world. Upon reaching the age of puberty, as far as the Sharia, meaning the law of Allah, is concerned, one is now mukallaf. Mukallaf means you will now be held accountable for all of your actions. So the moment you hit puberty, the children should begin praying their salah. How do you achieve a person who has just reached the age of puberty? How do you expect him to read salah immediately if he has not been trained beforehand? This is why it is the duty of parents to train their children with salah from a very, very young age and start enforcing it when they are at the age of puberty. You can only enforce something that your children are aware of. They have the knowledge of the salah. So they have to be trained before the age of puberty. And now they will be mukallaf, meaning any salahs they miss now, qada is wajib on them. They have to do the qada of that salah. You don't want it to be such that they reach the age of 20 and they became baligh. They hit the age of puberty at the age of 12 and they've missed 8 years of salah and they have to make it up. How difficult will that be? But imagine that child who is trained from very young by his parents, and then the moment he is baligh, you know, you can be baligh at the age of 11, 12, 13, whatever it is, whenever your body experiences it. At that age, we think our children are too young to wake up for Fajr. They're too young to pray the Isha because it's late. My beloved brothers, what we are actually instilling in our children is a lazy attitude. This will never leave them. You think when they're older, they will pray. Illa mashallah, there are exceptions. But for the majority of them, most of their life will go by and they will not be able to wake up for the Fajr or stay awake for the Isha. Or maybe they might even be awake, but they won't think it's important because nobody ever pushed them in their young life. Nobody ever encouraged them when they were young. So it is our duty to do this, my beloved brothers. The injunctions of halal and haram become applicable, and all of the obligatory duties also apply to this young child who has just reached the age of puberty. After becoming baligh, meaning mature, if one leaves a farz or does a haram action, he will now be held accountable and he will be sinful. It follows that by the time a person has reached the age of puberty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the adequate amount of understanding needed to comprehend his responsibility and differentiate between the right and the wrong. At that time, a person is able to discern which path to take in life and which paths will be harmful to his future. If this was not the case then, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a person responsible and mukallaf upon reaching bulugh? Why would Allah make you mukallaf of the deen, meaning accountable for your actions, if it was not such that you had enough aql, enough common sense, enough knowledge of the deen to actually tread the path of deen? Allah is not a zalim, na'udhu billah. He does not put you through something that you cannot bear. So by the time of bulugh, you're very responsible. You have the ability to be responsible, as long as the tarbiyah was done correctly. However, in modern society, we live in one that encourages a life of ghafla. We are encouraged to live a life of heedlessness, even after reaching puberty. We don't want to be aware of our responsibilities, and we do not wish to take any burden upon our shoulders. We just want to eat, drink, enjoy life, and hang around with our friends. We are totally unwilling to take on any form of responsibility. A simple task, your parents ask you, please go to the shop and buy such and such. The child can turn around and say, that's not my job, it's your job. You've got the car, you take it, you go. They don't know what you go through, how you're earning, how you are stocking up the house. They don't know none of that. Like, it's your job, I should open the fridge and there should just be so many things there. I should open the snack cupboard, there should be so many things there. And the moment it's not, they'll throw a tantrum. They throw a tantrum. This is how we're training our children. They have no sense of responsibility. You know, if the house is empty and my son comes to me, there's nothing there, I say, when you start earning, you can fill up the house yourself. When you're earning, you come and stock up the shelves. You come and stock up the house. You start paying the bills. Training him from now so that he is aware that, you know what, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to have responsibilities. You know, the condition of our pious predecessors, my beloved listeners, Abdullah ibn Amr, ibn al-Asr, radiyallahu anh, was the son of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anh. So Allama Nawawi writes about him that there was a difference of only 11 or 12 years between the father and the child. If we take the later opinion, meaning that he was 12, it means that by the age of 11, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As was married, and by the time he was 12, he had already had a son. Hence, in those days, young men, they had such a mature appearance. They had a mature outlook on life and of life's understanding. And they would take the responsibilities at a very young age, that they could even marry, that they could even look after their wife, and they could even be able and capable of supporting children as well. But today, we are not ready to take up any responsibility. Even though in bygone times the average lifespan used to be longer than today, people still used to be attentive. They still used to take on responsibility early and initiate their work quickly. With our relatively short lifespans, we are still unwilling to settle down. Still, even after reaching the age of 20, 25, 30, and some even 40, people don't want to settle down. This reluctance is a deception from Shaitan, my beloved brothers. People of earlier generations would have completed all of their accomplishments by the time that they were 40. On reaching 40, they would wrap up their bedding and declare that the time for sleep was over. It meant that they were done with worldly achievements. That time, this time now, had come for cutting down on eating, قِلَّةِ طَعَام, and cutting down on drinking and pursuing the world. Sleep was relegated to brief moments when and where the need arose before awakening again to prepare for the Akhirah. The universally renowned scholar Allama Nawawi, rahimahullah, he achieved an enormous amount in his short life. Along with possessing exceptional conduct and piety, he authored the famous commentary of Sahih Muslim that bears his name, as well as Riyadhus Salihin, his famous Arba'een, and many other works. And it is interesting to note that he achieved all of this in his youth, because he passed away when he was 45. Similarly, the leader of the faithful, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he lived for only 40 years, yet he has gone down in history for his remarkable achievements. Known as the second Umar, he ruled the Muslim world in an exemplary fashion, and his justice and fairness remained unparalleled. This is no doubt that our pious predecessors valued the potential of youth and made the most of their allotted time in this world. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us in bringing up a mature generation. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants our youth aqli salim, fahmi salim, a qalb that is salim, so that they can understand the deen, they can understand their responsibilities, and they can take on the responsibilities on their shoulders, and they can become young leaders, they can become pioneers of the deen. My beloved brothers, it is up to us, the older generation, which is above their generation, to train them, to get them ready, because we are not going to be here forever. We will leave. We will leave the household responsibilities, whether we like it or not. You might be the sole breadwinner right now, meaning your whole family relies on you. Ma'adallah, Allah give you a long life, but let's say you leave the masjid right now and you have a car accident and you pass away. Is your family going to deteriorate? They will have to take on the responsibility. But you, if you train them from before, then you would be in aram in your qabr. That, you know, I gave them a lot of training before I went. They will, inshallah, be able to sustain themselves and Allah will look after them. But if you left them completely bareback and you left them completely relying on you at all times, then when you go, they will experience a lot of hardship, experience a lot of it. And it could have been resolved, it could have been avoided if we just trained them well. If we just put responsibilities on their shoulder so that they were able to carry it when they were older. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, first of all, the older generation, me and you, the ability to understand this and the ability to pass this knowledge on to the shoulders of the younger generation. We make dua to Allah that He makes it a reality. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers, can I please request before the adhan, if you look in front of you and there is an empty space, please move forward just now, fill it. If somebody on your left or right is sitting a little bit far away from you, either you move closer to him or the other person will move closer to you. That will open up a space in the backs of, and then the person in the behind should move forward. It is school holidays, mashallah. We will, mashallah, experience a lot of children, a lot of extra new faces. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to frequent the masjid even more. But during the holidays, it makes sense, mashallah, everybody will be here. What happens if we do not fill this hall? Then the downstairs hall becomes full, and then eventually the overflow leads into the car park. So some brothers, you know, they have to pray in the car park. So if we stand close together, brothers, we can get as many people as we can in the masjid. Jazakumullahu khayra wa ahsan al jaza.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
Brothers, when you are standing for your sunnah, please stand close together and fill in the gaps from now so that when we reach the time of Farad prayer, it is easy for everybody to join. Jazakumullahu khairan.